Are there any other announcements that need to be made? If not, let's turn to the opposite page in our bulletins to the opening words. Christmas Day has come and gone. New Year's Day is here.
The word has become flesh and lived among us.
But the world does not notice, and we have turned away from Christmas. Turn away from the pace of the world and turn your hearts to Christ. God has exalted him and has given him the name that is above every name. Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us worship our Savior. Amen.
As you can see, George is not here, and we are not going to sing the hymns that are printed in the bulletin. We would try, but it would not be very good. Instead, if you would look to the screen behind me, we're going to sing a great New Year's song. It's called He Has Made Me Glad. Stand, please, and sing with all your might. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, will enter his courts with praise. Will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice cause he hath made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, he has made me glad. All right, please be seated.
Well, it's time for children's moments. If we have children that would like to come forward. I know there's always a few of you out there who like to get candy. So you'll come. You'll come. Now, I have to ask the congregation a question before I ask you all a question. Because I bet this is something that the congregation has done, but I don't know if you've ever done this before or not. How many of you, when you were a child, had some sort of a piggy bank to save money? Oh, look, some of them do. Yeah, a number of you do. A number of you do. Okay, what do you do with your piggy bank? What do you do with it? You fill it with money. I mean, do you put in $100? I mean, what do? Any money that you have. Okay, and what about you? What do you do with your piggy bank? You save up. You save up. If you keep adding, it starts to grow, doesn't it? Yeah, and they tell you, you know, put the money in there, but don't take it out. Don't touch it. Let it stay in there. And it will really grow. And that is an important thing to learn, a lesson in life about saving. But there's another thing that you can also do. I bet sometimes you get curious. How much is in there now? How much is in there? And so you open up the piggy bank and count it, don't you? Do you count it to see how much you've got in there? Like if you're saving for something in particular, you might say, oh, I don't quite have enough. I still have to put more in there. And we do that too as adults. We try to put our money away and not think about it and keep adding to it, and maybe it will grow. But every now and then, we want to take it out and see how much is there. And one of the things we can do today on New Year's Day is to count our blessings. And that's what we're wanting to do today, is count our blessings. We take out our piggy bank and count our money, but in our life, especially as we start a new year, we remember the things that we are thankful for. Can you name me something that you're thankful for? Sarah. Your family. Okay. Bradley. Your house. You have a place to stay. Right. Okay, Zachary. Your food. You have food every single day on your plate. And that is something to be thankful for. Yeah, we have a lot of things we can be thankful for. And this is a good time to remember them. And I hope that you will start the new year by counting your blessings. Let's bow our heads and pray. We are most thankful, O God, of course, for your Son, Jesus, who is the greatest gift that we could have. But we have a lot to be thankful for. And so I thank you, dear God, for everybody here today. And I thank you for these children and help that you will keep them growing in grace and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. All right. Is it offering time? All righty. I invite the ushers to come forward as we present the tithes and offerings to the church. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your many gifts today, and we offer ourselves and our gifts to you for furthering your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, George is not here, and Joseph and I are going to give it the best we got. We got a nice song for you with a nice message. Thank you very much.
Please throw money. It'll be okay. If you're going to throw coins, it's fine. Please wrap them in dollar bills. They hurt less that way. Especially if it's like rolls of quarters, you know. No. So here's a song. Hope you enjoy it. If you know the song, please feel free to sing along. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Can everybody sing that with me? Right, here we go. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Y'all keep singing. We'll call on the name of the Lord and be saved. This is what you can go home and teach your neighbors. Tell them they can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Yeah. You just got to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And you can really, it's that simple. Just teach somebody. Just call on the name of the Lord. And that's where it's at. God bless you. Happy New Year.
Before we come together to make our confession and pardon, which you'll find on page 7, starting with the invitation, 7 and 8. I do want to mention that we should be in prayer for George and his family that are suffering the loss of a loved one. And I want to pray for everybody who's sick. We have a lot of people out there who are ill and suffering, and it is not a good time to be sick, and it's not a fun time to be sick. So we remember them in prayer, including my mother, who is where I got mine from. She was so kind to pass it on to me. Yes, right. That's right. And I love her. I also want to recognize that Rhonda is here worshiping with us today, I think, for the first time since her daughter-in-law passed away very suddenly, right the week after her mom passed away. And we've had the joy and pleasure of having Lloyd be our usher and back involved again. And I would be remiss if I didn't say to Rhonda how much we are thinking and praying for you this morning as well. That you're going to wake up from. Right. Thank you, Rhonda. And thank you for keeping us updated on how we can best support you and love you and pray for you. And that's what we will continue to do. Are there others that we should remember this morning? Sharon Harris, who's at Consulate Nursing Home, trying to recover from her fall recently. And I guess I would say pray for my dad as well. He's been transferred to the health center pretty much on a permanent basis now. And my mother's going to be moving to a new apartment this month. And so there's a lot of big changes going on in my family. And we certainly covet your prayers right now. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Will you pray with me? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for a joyful obedience. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, and you can follow along up on the screen. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet out of Egypt, "I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to that time he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel, weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father, Herod was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. I think it was 25 to 27 years ago, when I was the new pastor of a small church in Port Tampa, which is right outside of Tampa, and I decided that we would have a Christmas Eve candlelight and communion service, and it would be my first ever as a solo pastor. I wanted everything, of course, to go perfectly. And it almost was perfect. There was even, a slight chill in the air to feel cool at that time of year. And we had one of the high school students play "What Child Is This?" on the flute. And three generations, a grandmother, a mother, and a granddaughter, lit the Advent wreath for us. And we sang Christmas carols, "O Come All Ye Faithful," and "Away in the Manger." And we read the story of Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. And I remember thinking, this is perfect. It can't get any better than this. This is a Hallmark Christmas card moment. And I was so pleased. Well, that's when Danny's beeper went off. And he was a member of the volunteer fire department that they had in Port Tampa. When his beeper sounded, he, of course, got up and took off. And that had happened to us before. We were used to him getting up and leaving. And we started to sing "Silent Night." And as we got to "Wondrous Star, Lend Thy Light," Danny ran back into the church and he shouted, "Bob's mother's house is on fire." So, of course, Bob's family got up and ran out with Danny. And Danny's wife got up and ran out with them. And by that time, there were very few people left in the sanctuary. We had, Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, and the crowd there witnessing them was made up of those who had gone to sleep or were waiting for a ride home to go watch the big fire. So that's how Christmas Eve candlelight and communion service went at Port Tampa. Tragedies, I thought, it seemed terribly unfair. I thought tragedies should wait until January. You know, let this be that perfect Christmas Eve service that I had longed for so long, and it did not turn out quite that way. And the same thing is true with the story of King Herod. It doesn't feel like King Herod should be a part of the Christmas story. This horrifying sequence of events that takes place in Matthew is just the most difficult you can imagine. It doesn't seem to fit. And, you know, you can never cast the role of King Herod in the Christmas pageant. Oh, wait, that's because King Herod isn't in the Christmas pageant. And they sell nativity scenes at Walmart and other places that you can find them, and none of them has a King Herod as part of the Christmas story. No Christmas card has on the front of it, "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation," because this part of the story doesn't fit. But we need to hear it. Like a lot of stories, we have to hear the whole story, the bad along with the good, or we get the story wrong. Every true story admits that even in the midst of our shining decorations and our beautiful candles, that darkness still threatens the light. Ignoring the darkness is ignoring reality. We leave King Herod out of Christmas because we think we're supposed to keep the hardships of the real world away from the manger. Matthew says that Christmas came in the days of King Herod. That's the way he starts out his Christmas story. King Herod, my friends, was like Joseph Stalin. He executed his favorite wife, his brother-in-law, and three of his sons because he was afraid they were after his throne, and they were. We usually imagine angels speaking in these soft, reassuring tones, but the angel in Joseph's dream said, "Get up! Take the child! Hurry up! Run! Go!" That was not a soft, reassuring tone that the angel brought to Joseph. And so they had to escape in cover of darkness. They were far from home, but the baby was finally safe and would remain in Egypt. They were refugees in Egypt for a couple of years. But as we hear the story, we know that not everyone was safe. Herod's order was the death of every boy child in Bethlehem, 2 years old or younger. And Matthew can't find words horrifying enough to tell this story. So he borrows it from the prophet Jeremiah. "Wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they are no more." The first Christmas was soldiers with swords in the streets, mothers clutching to their babies, hiding in the closet, trying not to breathe too loudly and to keep their infants from crying out. All of this begs the question, why couldn't the angel have rescued them too? Even the birth of the new king didn't stop the suffering and the horror that took place at the whim of King Herod. Now, as I read this story, I couldn't help but think about another Christmas a little closer to home for me. The missionary and his family were serving in Cuba during the revolution. Living right on the foothills of the Sierra Maestras, it got too dangerous to stay in the little village of Mayari. With an army garrison constantly battling the revolutionaries who would come down off the mountain. Not knowing if or when they might return, the missionaries and his pregnant wife took their two small children and all their belongings and went to a nearby agricultural school with other missionary families who were also dislocated. They spent Christmas there under the protection of the Fidelistas, or revolutionaries, at the same time while hearing the dictator's bombers flying overhead, listening and looking for rebel strongholds. The missionary, convinced that it wasn't safe, talked the rebels into letting them go. Along with another family, his pregnant wife took the children in one vehicle, and the missionary followed in a truck with all their belongings, and they set out over the sugarcane fields, not knowing where they were headed, and hoping that they would not make an easy target for the bombers flying overhead. On the second day of their journey, the war came to an end because Batista fled the country, and it was safe to go back to Mayari again. The army garrison had given up. The third child was born 2 months later, and they stayed in Cuba for another year. The war, however, took its toll. My mother experienced PTSD and postpartum depression after my youngest brother was born, and I was 3 years old and had nightmares, shouting, tiros, tiros in Spanish, which means shots, shots. I keep thinking about that story and the one that Matthew tells. The first Christmas is mothers crying because their children have died, wailing and loud lamentation, refusing to be consoled because they are no more. If we have to stand at a graveside on Christmas Eve, we need to remember the hope that comes with Christmas. The part of this story that we're used to leaving out, the sadness and the suffering and the death, we would prefer to be able to sweep under the rug, is the most important part, because it explains why this child is a holy child. When we remember the story, we need to remember the entire story. The message to us is that God comes to the worst places and the most painful circumstances to share our suffering, to care for us in the midst of tragedy. Christ has come to bear our sorrows. We have not been left alone. This holy season is the promise that God's joy is deeper than our sadness, that ultimately life is more powerful than death, and that the light does shine even in the darkness, my friends. And I hope that that light, whatever darkness you experience in your life, that the light of Christ will shine for you and for all to let us know that we are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, since I'm sick, I always wash my hands with the sanitizer there. But when I break the bread, I will not place it back on the plate. I will keep the bread that I break separate from the bread that you all take. And as usual, I invite you to come to this table not because you are good, but because God is good. And you do not need to be a member of this congregation, but just simply seek to have and know God's love more deeply in your life. And so all are welcome at the table of the Lord. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." The same night, he also took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of him and be thankful." Christ's table has been prepared for you. If you are not able physically to come, we will bring communion to you, and the ushers will guide you to come and kneel to receive these gifts.
As we sing this last song, we've had this underlying melody going through the service from Change My Heart, O God. And I don't know if you guys are like me. I really hope you're not like me. I hope you're much better than me. But I can think I'm doing great with God and everything's good and my heart is good. And then somebody makes me mad. And then I've got a little twist in there. And it could be somebody here. It could be somebody at home, whatever. But it does something to my heart. It hardens it a little bit. And I find myself coming back to the words to this song and praying for God to change my heart yet again. And I frankly hope that he always listens and that he is always willing to change my heart. So please stand and look to the screen behind me and let's sing Change My Heart, O God. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you.
We do pray for changed hearts, and thank goodness we got a long time to get it right. We never get it right completely, but that's okay. We keep, in the Methodist term, we keep moving on toward perfection. Doesn't happen in this life. But we pray that God's blessing be upon you, that whatever darkness you may face, whether it be for in the new year or something else, that light will shine brightly, brighter than any darkness that could ever put it out. Go with the love, mercy, grace, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May you go in his peace. Amen.